Welcome to the Marketing Stir podcast by Stirista, where we chat with industry leaders and get their take on the challenges facing the market. And maybe we'll have a little fun along the way.
On this week's episode of the Marketing Stir podcast, Mark Osborne, founder of Modern Revenue Strategies and author of Are Your Leads Killing Your Business, joins AJ and Vincent to discuss the key ingredients that you can use to craft a successful marketing strategy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Marketing Stir. I, of course, am your host, Vincent Petrofessa, the Vice President of B2B Products. I am rocking my professor costume. Look at that. Look at those elbows if you're watching. We're going to drop some knowledge here. You know, we have an author on. That's why, you know, I'm excited. I feel like this is a great jacket to read a book in, right? We'll get to that in a moment. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. We are into season four. AJ and I might have some really cool announcements for you. Maybe, we're not sure yet, but you may be getting some live episodes out of us soon. We'll see. I don't know. We have to still, you know, a lot of pieces that are coming together, right? It's not easy getting, you know, me and AJ together with a lot of our amazing guests, but we will see. More on that. Maybe my CEO slash co-host has some more information on that. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. Also, let's pause briefly to talk about Stirista. Who are we? Well, that's all we talk about. This is maybe like 10 seconds. Come on an elevator ride with me here. Stirista, we are a marketing technology company. We own our own B2B data, B2C data. That's consumer, that's business, for those of you who don't know. We also own our own technology that helps our amazing partners get to those customers, to help them get new customers. Email me, vincent@stirista.com. That is how confident I am. I just gave you my email address. The other thing I am confident in, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm so excited that I'm going to see this gentleman, he's my co-host, Mr. AJ Gupta. What's going on, AJ?
Winston, I've been on a little bit of a celebrity tour here. On Thursday, our friends at Google invited me to a suite at the Houston Rodeo to see Luke Bryant.
Wow.
Then on Saturday and Sunday, I saw Questlove and Black Keys for a private iHeartMedia party. So it's kind of difficult to get back into regular life today, but glad to be co-hosting podcast with you. You are somewhat famous as well.
Thank you. So you saved yourself there because, oh, you're almost like, well, it's my must come back to the common people. This is great. And you talked about music. Our guest is going to love this. He has a background in music. But yeah, you know, there's a lot of people who are telling me, yeah, you know, you recently went to Ramp Up, and a lot of people were telling me, like, AJ, you know, everyone knows him there. They were like, AJ, you're the CEO. Did anyone mention me at this event? Did anyone ask where I was?
A couple of people that were like, hey, where is that guy? A little bit less funny than you, but he
but way louder than you. Yeah, I get that a lot. But yeah, we're going to be
people did miss you.
Thank you. Yes, it is nice. Yeah, when they don't see us together, right? They think we hang out all the time. That would be great.
Yeah,
you know. But yeah, we'd be out every night, and my wife would hate it.
It would not be good for our liver.
No, not good for our liver. But it'll be great. But May, you know, this episode is going to be coming out before that. But May, we're hanging out quite a bit. We've got a trip here. We have another a trade show that we're going to. But it's too early to drop the live knowledge on people, right? It's too early for that?
It's a little early, but stay tuned. Something around Ad Week.
Yep, Ad Week. So always a big presence there. But I think the people are asking for it, you know? The people are asking.
Marketing Stir might be going live at Ad Week.
So. Yep. Let's see. And if
I guess I dropped it a little.
Well, let's see. Well, if we don't, there'll be some disappointed people at Ad Week. No, there's still great content. But AJ, we've got a great, great episode for us today. It's, you know, it's great talking to this guy. It's like he has a musical background. And he's you know, really personable. He's really knowledgeable and an author. You know how I love my books. AJ always makes fun of me because he thinks I never read. You know, I read, maybe not as much as you, but I get out there and read. Don't you worry about me. But we have an amazing guest, the founder of Modern Revenue Strategies and author of Are Your Leads Killing Your Business? A warm Marketing Stir welcome for Mark Osborne. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, Vincent. Hey, AJ. Thanks so much for having me. Really excited to be here and to participate in the conversation.
Thank you, Mark. It's great having you. If you're viewing Mark, you can already see he's got that awesome microphone. He looks like a musician. This guy looks like a musician. You'll see. Not all of you tune in to us on YouTube, but you listen to us. You listen to our voices, which is great. He's got a great voice too, ladies and gentlemen. So, Mark, great to have you here. Let's get right into it. You are the founder of this organization. Before we get into the author part, because that's super cool. It's rare that we have authors on the podcast, but tell us about your own organization there and founder, but what does that really mean? You're probably wearing a lot of hats.
Sure, absolutely. So Modern Revenue Strategies works with founders and leaders at early stage B2B SaaS technology services companies to help them really double revenues in as little as 90 days without sort of wasting money on ads that don't work or chasing growth hacks that never pay off or drowning in like unqualified leads. And the way that we do that is really by focusing on building revenue systems that are founded in sort of marketing principles that we then layer in the data and technology and things like generative AI, all that fun stuff, all those shiny hammers. But that sort of system-based approach allows them to sort of do a better job of really one of three areas: attracting more of the right prospects, accelerating their best opportunities through the sales pipeline, or activating their existing clients for faster renewals, larger upsells, and more referrals. We actually offer a 10x ROI B2B growth guarantee where we can identify this fastest path to growth and then help them get there. And we wrote all about it in that book that you mentioned. So I published a book last year, Are Your Leads Killing Your Business? Which talks about that. And one of the things that we've seen is that, over the last few decades, so many companies have really become obsessed with, more leads, more leads, more leads. But we all know the 80-20 rule, that 80% of your revenues come from just 20% of your customers. And unfortunately, for businesses that haven't built the systems that allow them to attract more of those right customers, identify those best opportunities and accelerate them through the sales pipeline, activate those best customers for sort of growth, they really get sort of distracted by the scraps. And those scraps can ultimately kill your business because they don't believe in your vision for the business. And so they, they want to really grind you down on margin and price. They don't really believe in the way you solve it. So they want to have you customize the solution, oftentimes customizing it not to what the rest of the market wants, but to just what they want. And then they ultimately will churn out of your business without ever, bringing in, additional referrals or testimonials or growing with you. And so those types of customers really can kill your business. And if those businesses that haven't done a good job of identifying those best opportunities are sort of left with the scraps and then they're falling further and further behind their competition.
Makes complete sense, Mark. And are your leads killing your business? Where can people find that book? I want to get that out right up front and for people.
So I'm actually going to do something nice for your listeners. I'll give a free copy to the first 50 folks that go to modernrevenuestrategies.com/free-download. They can get a copy there. It'll come with not only the book, but all of the templates, calculators, and all of the worksheets that I talk about in the book that they can use to start implementing in their business right away.
Oh, that's awesome. Our listeners do love that. It's not often that people leave them with something. So that's great. We'll put that in the description once we publish this. But Mark, how did you get into this? One of our popular questions, how did you get into this business, marketing in your love of B2B? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, it's sort of a funny story. And we were talking about my microphone earlier. This is actually an artifact left over from my days as a musician, as you talked about. So in the early days of the internet, we're talking like late 90s, some of your listeners will remember, for some, this will be a history lesson. People didn't have access to the internet every day. It was actually more like a bulletin board where you would go sort of post a note and then someone would come and, sort of pull off the email address or the phone number from that note on a bulletin board and then contact people. So I was playing in bands and managing bands. And I noticed that people would go online to these Usenet groups, these BBS billboards, and they would trade bootleg concert tapes. So I have Dave Matthews performing in Birmingham. Well, I know that they live somewhere near Birmingham and that they like Dave Matthews. And their email address was their sign-on. There was no such thing as spam at the time. So I started building databases of people that liked different types of music, that lived in different areas, and with their email address. So then when one of my bands that sounded like Dave Matthews went to Birmingham, I'd send all these folks an email, invite them to the show. It was selling out the concerts for these tiny little unknown bands that I was managing, which led to a job at a record label, led to a job at a radio station. I got to share the stage with Grammy-winning artists along the way, which was really kind of amazing. And that sort of really passion for using data and technology to create sort of one-to-one relationships at scale, that's what really got me into marketing. And for the first, you know, few decades, especially in the sort of the arrival of search marketing and all this new data and all the data that came with social media, it really was about, you know, finding these little exploits and ways to game the algorithm or to, you know, get a new data source or to get a new optimization approach. And I got so into sort of all of these growth hacks that I actually, Ad Age magazine named me a marketing technology trailblazer in 2017. They said I was one of the top 25 people in the world at using data and technology for marketing. But what I found over the last several years is the pace of innovation is really exploded. The Marketing Technology Conference in maybe 2011, 2014, when they first started, they published a landscape of all the companies in the, you know, marketing data and technology space. There were about 150 companies on that. This year, there's over 11,000. So just you can't keep up with this pace of change. And what I noticed was that the companies that were really successful were the ones that were building systems. And that's a lot of what talk about in the book, is to not get distracted by sort of growth hacks or, you know, chasing shiny objects or, you know, silver bullets. It's about building systems for your business.
Mark, I'm fascinated by your book, mostly because I have a master's in creative writing as well. So I would love to kind of hear about, you know, what led you to writing the book, some of the key features of the book and takeaways.
Yeah. So I had actually started on the book on this premise of, you know, stop chasing growth hacks and instead work on building systems. And then when the pandemic lockdowns happened, I saw that a lot of businesses in the B2B space specifically sort of put their marketing and sales activities on pause almost. They kind of just said, well, things will get back to normal one day. And when they do, we'll go back to doing what we've always done. But the sort of leaders in each of the sort of industry sectors actually kind of leaned in to the sort of societal and sort of consumer changes that were happening as a result of people being in lockdowns. And I think McKinsey Consulting says that some of the trends in B2B marketing and sales accelerated by more than 10 years in less than 10 months. And so once things started returning back to normal, people started going to Ad Week again and, you know, sort of activities, these businesses went back to doing what they'd always done. But what they found was that the landscape had changed dramatically. And as a result, I wanted to sort of capture, well, what changed and what are the best companies doing to leverage data technology to build these systems that allow them to attract more of the right prospects, accelerate those best opportunities, and then activate clients for more renewals, upsells, and referrals. So it's really sort of a primer for businesses to sort of catch up if they maybe got left a little bit behind. And then for those that are sort of building their business, you know, more from scratch, how to lay, you know, build those systems that the best companies are using today.
And how do companies make sure they're not caught up in chasing kind of the next shiny hammer or magic bullet?
Yeah. So, you know, it's a tight rope to walk because you always want to be innovative, but at the same time, you don't want to be distracted. And far too often, what we see is that, you know, a C application across, you know, five areas is not nearly as good as an A application in one area. And so the way that we sort of advise companies to do that, and in fact, we've helped with this is, so we have a diagnostic tool. Here's another freebie for your guests. If you go to modernrevenuestrategies.com/diagnostic, it's just about 15 questions. And within those 15 questions, you can pretty quickly diagnose where are your biggest sort of pain points. Is it on attracting more of the right prospects, these acceleration systems for sales pipeline or activation systems for existing clients? And then from that, you have some benchmarks of how to grow and how to create priority. And so what we say is by starting with the end in mind, you can identify which is the area that's going to lead to the fastest growth. Now, what does that sort of critical path look like in those systems? And then how do we sort of improve that and have, you know, sort of testable hypotheses that you're building into this so that you can then make improvements and optimizations along the way?
So, Mark, staying along that topic there, how do you approach finding the right size solutions for different businesses, B2Bs, a variety of different businesses, different industries? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's another place that, you know, the market right now is seeing an interesting thing in the SaaS space that I'm sure you guys are experiencing, where, you know, for many years, there was so much kind of free money out there in the market that people were just sort of gobbling up every SaaS solution they could get to add to their marketing and sales tech stack, thinking maybe it'll make at least some incremental difference in their ability to, you know, make an impact in the marketplace. Now that interest rates have changed, there's no such thing as free money. Companies are getting a lot more sort of judicious about, does this really add value? And that's the mindset and the lens that we recommend companies to think about as they, you know, sort of figure out what's the right way to solve this problem, is to look at, you know, again, what's the outcome? What's the end in mind for a particular system? Is it attracting more leads, moving deals faster through pipeline, activating existing clients for more renewals, upsells, and referrals? Once you identify that, then you can sort of identify that critical path or sort of that overview of the system, and then start to look at, between each stage of the system, where am I strong? Where am I weak? Compare to benchmarks in the marketplace so that you have, you know, some measures, not just sort of your gut feeling. And then you find those tools or solutions or data sources that help you improve your weakest areas so that you can sort of raise the overall level as you go. And that's really how we think about it is, again, start with that end in mind, define the process that accomplishes that objective, and then look for opportunities to accelerate that with technology that either doesn't sleep or doesn't have human error or moves faster or can do it at wider scale. But it starts by knowing what you're trying to accomplish.
Also, I want to talk to you because, you know, my world is B2B. The only world I live in here at Starista is B2B. So I'd love to get your take on some like emerging trends in that world. One of them that I'm seeing, and maybe, you know, if you're seeing it as well, the use of connected TV in B2B, right? No longer, you know, I'll be sitting at home watching a show with my wife and all of a sudden it's a Salesforce.com ad, for example. I'm like, you know what? Both of us are professionals and both of us know it. So it's great. What do you see?
Yeah, that's an interesting point, Vincent. So In the early days of social media marketing, I was working with a company that was an ad tech provider that had sort of access to the full pipeline coming off Twitter and Facebook. And as they were sort of growing their business, they were like, you know, should we go into B2B? And the way that we thought about it then was, you know, does this person a business decision maker? Yes. Do they have a Facebook account? Yes. Is Facebook an appropriate place to reach them? To talk about it, maybe. And so I would say that TV is the same thing. And what's interesting, I've done a lot of, you know, sort of attribution modeling in my career and worked with a lot of companies in that space. Different media makes a different sort of impact depending upon what story you're trying to tell. And so especially for a lot of kind of B2B technology and you know, data plays, like you talked about Salesforce, they're trying to move from the space of being seen as an innovator and into the space of being seen as a heritage solution, something that's tried and true. People have the perception that if you're on TV, it's because you're a tried and true brand. And so as brands are trying to build that kind of brand strategy or that positioning strategy, it certainly makes sense. Also, connected TV has the ability to bring in and ingest so many different data sources now, whether it's your first party data about site visitors or the sort of propensity models that you might build on predicting that a particular company's in market. And well, then you can get all of the names of decision makers within that company and, you know, potentially build lists based on that. These would all be, you know, ways that would certainly make connected TV make sense in the B2B space.
Mark, what are some of the key metrics that companies should focus on if it's not lead volume, which tends to be, you know, probably the biggest driver of KPIs for most companies?
Yeah. So I was chatting with someone the other day, and they were saying that, you know, to improve sort of like your valuation in the market, one of the biggest metrics you can impact that's so often overlooked is the sort of net recurring revenue. This metric that incorporates not only your recurring revenue, but how much churn you have, and also your ability to upsell your existing customers to bring in new revenues. And that's a metric that, you know, there's a lot there, a lot to unpack that you could have initiatives focused on each of those different sort of components of that calculated metric as a way of improving your overall, you know, net recurring revenue, which then makes one of the biggest impacts possible if you're looking for, you know, Series A or Series B funding. So, and that's one of those metrics that's, you know, really not at all focused on the, you know, volume of leads that are coming into your business. One of the things that, you know, sort of this velocity is the thing that, you know, people normally look at when they think about pipeline. We always start by thinking about pipeline quality. And we define quality very similar to velocity, just removing that sort of volume piece of it. How quickly did the deals move through the pipeline? That's an indication of if they're actually qualified when they move into the pipeline or not. They might be a qualified, you know, ideal customer profile or even, you know, the right persona. They're just not ripe. They're not ready to be sold to. And so by understanding how quickly they move through the sales pipeline, that gives you a sense of how good are your qualification processes. And then we also look at things like, you know, what percentage of new deals match your ideal, your tier one ideal customer. Because if you're bringing through low quality, even if they are, you know, primed and ready to be sold to, if you're bringing in low quality, then it's going to sort of dilute your overall, you know, sort of impact to the marketplace. It's the same work to service, you know, oftentimes a, you know, $1 million customer as it is a $500,000 customer. And so if you can identify those differences up front, it can make a big difference. We also use some sort of general measures, not only around sort of customer acquisition cost and the relationship between that and lifetime value or a one-year payback, which is a pretty common metric, but even sort of your source of leads. And we talk about if, you know, a significant portion of your leads aren't coming from referrals from your existing business, there's a missed opportunity there. At the same time, if you're overly dependent on any one channel, well, then there's a lot of risk in your business as well.
Mark, what's a mistake that you see businesses making often these days?
You know, the real mistake, and it depends on sort of the size of the business. As businesses get bigger, they sometimes struggle to stop doing things. So they did something that worked for them at a certain time in their kind of growth trajectory. And so they want to keep doing it. But there's an old adage that, you know, the things that got you here won't necessarily get you to there. And so oftentimes we see businesses that are like, you know, we used to go to events and we would find good customers there, and we would close deals after those events. And so we still go to events, but maybe the people that attend the events have changed, or maybe the quality of the event themselves are changed, or maybe the event is focused more on sort of low-end customers and you've moved into a higher-end customer base, doing those same events isn't necessarily good for your business anymore. So really having a disciplined approach to making sure that you're maximizing, you know, every ounce of effort on all of your activities and putting it in the place that's going to have the most leverage and the most impact today is a real discipline that's sometimes hard to do.
Mark, I want to talk about the spending behavior and how that's changed in companies in the most recent years. You hear that, you know, well, it's tightening the budgets, tightening the budgets. People still need to market. So what are you seeing on your end?
So there's certainly, you know, we talked earlier about the idea of, you know, the end of free money. And so there's definitely some pressure on people to, you know, sort of be wiser about how they spend that money. One of the things that we see is that companies used to be a little more liberal with, let's go buy the things that our competitors are buying. Because if we're going to compete in the marketplace with them, we want to, you know, sort of be in the same media where they are. But what we have seen to be a much more effective strategy is by spending a little more time to really understand your tier one ideal customer and really understand the personas of your decision makers and champions that are going to, you know, be the stakeholders that you know, stick their neck out to get the deal done and really advocate for you. You can really understand their customer journey and the informational needs they have at different stages of their customer journey. But through that understanding of the customer journey, you can find new and unique ways to reach them that isn't the same as all of your competitors and oftentimes isn't as expensive. And it doesn't mean that you necessarily advocate for to stop spending in advertising. But oftentimes it's by spending that advertising budget in new ways. And maybe that new way is less around sort of upper funnel, we exist type messaging, and more around informational, you know, feeding an informational need for someone who's a little further down the funnel, but using some of those same channels. But instead of, hey, get this, you know, very top of funnel type research that we've done on, you know, why you should solve this problem. Instead, it's much, you know, more lower and deeper engagement on, if you're evaluating two different ways to solve this problem, let's tell you why one way might be better for your company versus another that speaks to that, you know, very unique ideal customer profile they've defined.
How can businesses ensure they're getting the most value out of their marketing data?
That's another one of those things that, just like chasing growth hacks can sort of drown you in unqualified leads or, you know, too many initiatives all kind of floating around out there. Sometimes we see that, you know, data can really overwhelm companies too. And what we really see is that the key to sort of getting success with data and partners like Starista is by defining the objective and really being clear on what is the business objective you're trying to accomplish. And then what is your system for accomplishing that objective? Now, which partners are going to be the best at either bringing the data that you need in order to accomplish that objective or the technology you need to make sense of the data that you're using to accomplish that objective? And that's really the guiding principle that we see is, you know, starting with the end in mind and then a systems-based approach leads to much more success with that marketing data.
Mark, the next couple of questions are more to get to know you at a personal level. So the first one we ask every guest is around LinkedIn. So I'm sure you get a lot of messages that are unsolicited. So we'd love to know what really annoys you. That one is a more entertaining one. And what's one that gets Mark Osborne to respond to a message?
So like the two of you, I'm very much a student of marketing. I joke that it's both my job and my hobby. And like, you know, in my off time, I'm either reading a book about marketing or having a conversation with someone about marketing or doing marketing work for clients. So I have to admit that I actually waste some of my resources spending time reading messages that aren't relevant for me, because I'll try to kind of, you know, reverse engineer Why did they think this was going to work? And sometimes that's a fool's errand because they didn't spend any time thinking about it at all. And I actually have unfortunately gotten a little bit, you know, didactic or professorial at times. Put on my tweed jacket like you've got there, Vincent, and sent people back a lesson on, hey, let me tell you why this is a really bad message that you should be sending someone. And fundamentally, the bad ones are the ones that are, you know, sort of internal looking or navel gazing, or I would like to get to know you. I would like to grow my network. I would like to tell you about my product, versus, you know, the most effective messages from what I've seen, you know, doing this for other people and what works on me are the ones that, you know, make some statements about things that I know are true in the marketplace that resonate with me, draw some logical conclusions from that. Well, if this is true, well, then that must mean this is also true, which then leads to an impact for me. And so if this is true and this is true, here is, you know, something that, you know, really will impact your life and your business. Those are the ones that draw me in and get me interested. And that's a really good framework, you know, for lots of companies.
Mark, so when we first started the podcast, the idea was we'd be meeting over coffee. Unfortunately, we started in kind of the height of the pandemic. So it's become kind of a virtual podcast. But we'd love to get to know you a little bit better on a personal level. I'm sure you spend a lot of time reading about marketing, but tell us a little bit about some non-marketing hobbies. What do you do for fun?
Sure, absolutely. Ironically, tonight I leave to head down to Costa Rica, and I will spend some time down there fishing. And I love sport fishing. I grew up working on a charter fishing boat in the panhandle of Florida. Really long days, lots of hard backbreaking work, but lots of fun. And just being out on the water, and there's just something really magical about that. And it's a little bit, you know, of a cliche, but I find the marketing analogies in it all the time around, you know, sort of knowing the species that you're looking for is just like knowing the customer that you're going after, knowing the right lure, you know, sort of bait to use is like, you know, perfecting your offer. And it's hard for me to not think about those things when I am fishing, but it also, you know, introduces a bit of a kind of Zen mindset to it of, you know, you have to recognize that in the ocean, there's a million things beyond your control. No amount of preparation. I think it was Ernest Hemingway who said in The Old Man and the Sea, book about fishing, it's better to be lucky, but I'd rather be exact. The sort of the same thing is true in business. As much as you might try to plan for everything, sometimes luck just plays into it.
And, you know, Mark, are you still listening to music? Yeah, into music. I'm sure you still listen to music, but talk to us about, you know, that's ingrained in you, it seems like.
Yeah. So certainly a passion point of mine. And ironically, I just got back from Las Vegas, where I saw U2 at the Sphere, which was a really sort of a great sort of homecoming for me. I wasn't allowed to watch TV or listen to music when I was at home. I grew up in a very conservative household. And so when I first went off to college, my very first weekend, there was a U2 concert right down the street. So my very first concert that I went to was U2. It was on the Achtung Baby Tour, which is most of the music that they're performing at the Sphere. It's sort of the way they structured the concert. And ironically, the guy that I went to that concert with is the guy whose birthday I'm going down to Costa Rica to celebrate with tonight. So there's a nice little full circle there around music, fishing, and lots of passions.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's one of my favorite albums, Achtung Baby. Like most, a lot of people's favorite albums. It's a classic. That's awesome, Mark. Thank you so much for your time and sharing your time with us. And again, the book is Are Your Leads Killing Your Business? He's going to be, you know, giving away that, you know, the 50 copies there. We're going to be putting that out there to our listeners. That's such a nice treat. Again, we rarely give away things just our me and AJ's knowledge for entertainment purposes. It's the only thing we usually give away for free there. So that's awesome. Thank you so much, Mark. That's Mark Osborne, the founder of Modern Revenue Strategies. And again, author of Are Your Leads Killing Your Business? That's Mark Osborne. I'm Vincent Petrofessa. That's AJ Gupta. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks for listening to the Marketing Stir podcast by Stirista. Please like and subscribe. If you're interested in being a guest on the podcast, please email us at themarketingstir@stirista.com.